The goal for the course is to present clinicians with useful tools that will help you develop a working paradigm for the treatment of patients who have experienced physical and sexual abuse or neglect. I'd like to say a little bit about my experience and about kind of how I'd like the class to work. And that is, I've been doing therapy a long time before I became an analyst. I struggled in the program trying to integrate what I had learned as a clinician with Jungian ideas, and for me that wasn't always easy. I do two groups a week, one men and women, and one women of survivors of post-traumatic stress disorder, largely. The work that I do is long-term. I do not do brief treatment. I am not going to survive in the managed healthcare system. I don't do that kind of work, and I'm too old, I think, to learn how to treat somebody in six sessions. So, that really is the base that I operate under. People who work with me usually work with me for 6 or 8 years. It's a long time. Oftentimes, they go into group and work individually as well as in group, and they don't go into group until they have a fairly well-developed observing ego. So that's kind of a sense of a little bit of how I work. I would ask that in the class, that rather than work with theory, that we try and think about people that we've worked with and see if we can ask questions about that and work together on trying to understand how to work with them. So that's kind of the format. I will be talking about theory. Some of it is very boring. And yet I'd like us to think about how it works, what works and what doesn't work. I've got some operating assumptions in the way that I work. The first is that the survivor is the author and arbiter of his or her own recovery. The analyst remains neutral, and that means that we don't take sides with parts of the patient as opposed to other parts, and that we refrain from advancing a personal agenda. This doesn't mean that the analyst does not respond with empathy, but rather that the analyst understands that there's a difference between siding with parts of the patient and working with the patient to develop an understanding of these parts. The analytic work with this kind of patient, and I think with all kinds of patients, really requires mutual collaboration and cannot be done without it. If the patient is unable to collaborate, then an assessment can be made with the help of the patient, so that the work can move towards that goal. If the patient cannot collaborate or learn to collaborate, it is difficult for change to take place. And I think that it may become likely that the analytic work will replicate the trauma. Okay? The third thing is that the relationship between the analyst and the patient is a triad. The analyst, the patient, and the victim or the perpetrator. And the victim and perpetrator construct will change in the work. The goal of the work is for the analyst and the observing ego of the patient to develop ways to identify the projective mechanisms that maintain the perpetrator-victim structure in the outer world and slowly begin to pull those projections in so that the inner structure can be worked with and that individuation can be loosened and take place. And that's really what I'm going to be talking about. It's the work of the analyst to bear witness to the patient's story, not to rescue and not to reject. The therapeutic agreement should be clear. Both parties are committed to recovery, truth-telling, cooperation in the work. Boundaries are clearly defined but can be negotiated. For instance, have an agreement with a patient to see them once a week at such and such a time, but they begin having flashbacks and they begin having a difficult time. So the patient calls, the time to be seen is renegotiated, and they may be seen 2 to 3 times a week when they're undergoing, you know, difficult periods. And then you work within the structure to change it again as the need takes place. So there's kind of an overall agreement about meeting time and fee and late cancel ideas. But the structure can be negotiated. I think the main idea there, and for those of you who have worked with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, it really is important that the patient not scare the daylights out of the analyst. And sometimes that can happen. The sixth is that the analyst needs to have a strong support system, which includes a safe, structured, and regular forum for reviewing clinical work, where he or she is safe to have their feelings and to hypothesize about what might be going on with the patient. That's real important. Seventh one is that this class is a way for us to explore what works and what may be useful for us as clinicians when working with patients like this. Any case material that I may be used or that you present, I ask that be distorted and disguised in order to protect confidentiality. So I'd like us to talk about patients, but at the same time, I'm going to distort and delete and change whoever it is that I talk about so that they're not recognized. The eighth assumption about this class is please ask a lot of questions. I'm assuming that you're all clinicians. The work that we do is difficult, sometimes painful, and I ask that we collaborate and share so that the more you ask, the more you'll get. I'm going to start out with definitions. They're going to be Jungian definitions, but they're really the ground floor of the paradigm that I'm presenting. And I think that what's important is that as I work on the definition, that we can try and understand how that would manifest in the clinical setting with this kind of patient. Okay. So the first definition that I'm going to give is the self. It is a particularly helpful, wonderful concept for an analyst. It is the sum total of the personality. It carries the image of wholeness. In one sense, it is our full potential for development that is asleep, that gets brought into being during an entire lifetime. I think Jungians are the only psychology that believe in the self. In a sense, it's a higher power, or it's a consciousness within the unconscious. You want to think of it that way. It is that part of the personality that sees the entire personality. It is the somebody within us that knows what the blueprint is and tries to make sure that the blueprint gets actualized. It is the architect and also the blueprint that undergrids the entire development of a person. And it is this concept that makes Jungian analysis different from any other kind of clinical work. Because the analyst knows that there is a part of the patient that knows how to knit the patient together again.